Greetings and salutations, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells all the way. Welcome to the Agile Revolution. Craig?
Hi Tony, how are you?
I'm good. And he's got his jingle pants on.
Yeah, although I just heard some disturbing behaviour about the way you conduct yourself on Skype, my friend.
There's nothing disturbing about right. The way I'm on Skype.
Yeah. Right, I do wear pants, but apparently we have evidence that you did not wear a shirt.
I panned down to prove that I was wearing shorts, though.
Yeah, and that has now given me nightmares for the next month.
Renee!
I was the person that experienced these nightmares, and I think it's going to be a lifelong mission to try and get it out of my head. Season's greetings and welcome to everybody's listening.
Happy holidays and happy Festivus.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah. What else is there?
I don't know. I like Festivus. Festivus for the rest of us.
Jingle all the way. What have we got today?
Well, it's been like about 4.5 months since we last got. Feels like it.
It wasn't that long ago. Our last presence was Alistair Coburn.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I think we're all mentally scarred. Alistair, thank you for that one.
But as far as a news podcast,
we had one, but I'm sure we picked on Renee again because we lost.
Yeah, we've lost about there. Two that we've done as well. Yeah.
All where we had super duper stuff where we actually had real dirt on Renee and they've gone into the ether.
Yep.
I think there's a conspiracy. What do you reckon, Tony?
I think it was a conspiracy, and I think it was grossly unfair on us, Craig.
There we go. But anyway, enough the inside baseball. What's happening in the world of Agile, Renee?
So I went through some old emails that I had, some old posts that I found. I found an interesting one called the Agile Alphabet, which you can find on scrumalliance.org. It's written by Kitty Reddy Bunnum. Eventually I'll get that right.
We look forward to your letters.
What Cody did was he basically went every single letter of the alphabet, A, B, C, D, and so forth, and gave an agile term against that letter and sort of explained that term. So it's sort of like an introductory alphabet soup for agile, which I thought was quite nice. There's a couple in there that I might sort of disagree with. But in essence, it was just a sort of lighthearted information technique. Have you guys read it at all?
No. It's quite an old post, isn't it? I do remember skimming through it about a month ago or so.
Yeah, August 31st.
Right, even longer than that, yeah.
Yes. So, for example, you have a look at A, acceptance criteria, requirements that must be met in order for a solution to be considered acceptable to key stakeholders. Some of the ones that I was a little bit iffy on. Osmotic communication.
Yeah, what would you have for O, Tony?
considering I panned down. Anyway, organic?
Organic
team forming, maybe?
I would have had the agile coaching catch cry, oh no.
I must admit, automatic communication isn't something that I've commonly heard associated with agile. I'm not disagreeing with it, but indirect information transferred to overhearing conversations or simply noticing things happening around you. The other one that sort of stuck out to me was zero defects, for the Z. So a scenario of having no defects at the time of a sprint review or at release time. Yeah, agile practices, the team tries to keep zero defects in sprints.
Yeah, look, I know I looked through it and went, my obvious one was, let's go and pick the hard letters of the alphabet. And X was pretty obvious because I think it's XP, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But Z, I was kind of happy with them. I think I agree with you, the O was a little dodgy. Q was pretty straightforward. That was that quality.
Quality, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought.
So everything else was quite simple. Yeah, the only thing that got me was this paragraph down there saying, you know, he uses it to help train new team members. My only concern is that there's not enough letters here. There's some terms that are quite important that are just missing altogether. But anyway, have a look. Interesting nonetheless.
Cool. Very interesting. I think I should just take this moment to mention that you'll hear a bit of the noise in the background. We're sponsored today. We're brought to you today by Brew Cafe.
Yeah, the sponsor being we bought our own coffee.
We bought our own coffee.
And we sat in the coffee shop, yes.
Well, yeah. But we're giving them a wrap anyway.
We
it's one of our favourite venues in the city.
In Brisbane.
Oh, yes, that's right. We're in Brisbane, yeah. Australia.
Yeah, remember, most of our listeners actually come from the US.
That's true. Interestingly enough. Okay, so what do you got for
this? This arrived on my doorstep literally as I walked out of the Agile room. Yeah, the Agile Pocket Guide. Our good friend, Agile Scout, Peter Savington.
Yep.
It's finally his book. It's in print. You can hear it.
Excellent.
I have not read it, obviously, because it literally just turned up. What I like about it is actually a nice little sized book. Like, when they say it's a pocket guide, it actually, I think you'd rip your pocket trying to cram it in there, but it's a nice size, and I've just flipped through it, and for a pocket guide, the chapters seem reasonably well spaced out. There's lots of pictures in there. Looks like a good book. So in coming episodes, I'll certainly review it. But one of the things when I did the podcast earlier in the year with Peter, or Agile Scout, or as he now calls himself, Raccoon Scout.
Raccoon Scout. I like that. Does he wear the hat?
No.
Okay. Anyway,
he doesn't wear a fox hat either. Take a look at his book anyway. This one's been a few years in the making, and we'll give it a proper review in the next month or so here on the Agile.
So it's about an A5 size.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
166 pages. Really quite cute, yeah.
Yeah, it's out by Wiley. You link through Agile Scout, you can find all agilescout.com, you can find all the details to purchase it. But I know he's really excited about this book coming out, and congratulations for
doing well done, Peter. Good friend of the podcast, and I congratulate you on that. I'll be getting a copy myself and have a good read through it.
Yeah, because you might be getting a free one like Craig.
Oh, that's right. So maybe we should also preface that that Craig has changed jobs since the last time we had a good podcast. Craig, what are you doing?
Look,
where are you at?
I've always been doing lots of stuff, Tony, but wandering around, been doing a bit of work for the Yow Conference here in Australia, so which is a nice little change, but never fear, I'll still be in the Agile community, just still doing my stuff.
That's what we like. So if you need a good Agile coach, Renee and Craig are both available.
So what's in your news world?
What's in my little news world? I want to bring up an article that was on InfoQ. And Renee and I actually spoke about it the other day. It was written by Phil Abernathy, who we all know quite well.
Yes.
And it's the one about, I guess, is Agile coaching dead, I suppose, is the way it was put.
Or is there a better alternative
to Agile coaching? So I thought it was an interesting one, because a few people have actually mentioned it to me now. And I thought, seeing as it's stirred up a bit of thought, maybe it's worth talking about.
So what's the premise in the article, Tony?
So the article's called An Alternative to Agile Coaching. It was been out for a couple of weeks on InfoQ. And I guess where it really started is what he's really saying is that he thinks we should sunset the role of an Agile coach.
Yeah, it's essentially that's what he's getting at, and that perhaps, you know, it worked in the beginning, not as successful now. And he brings up some obvious reasons why he feels that it's not correct. I've read it quite well, so what do you think, Craig? I want to get your thoughts on it. You know,
it was one of those articles when I read it. I don't know, maybe it was just the time of day I read it. I just kind of read it and went, yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Well, I think what was far more interesting to me is the 2 billion comments that have flowed from it. It's obviously stirred up some folks in the Agile community.
And hence why I thought we would have to talk about it then. I will preface this, you know, we know Phil quite well. We have worked with him closely over the years.
Yeah, look, I think the first thing I just want to say about this, and I've said this in a couple of presentations I've given this year, is that I think sometimes when we're embedded in the Agile community like we are, and probably like most of the listeners are, that it's sometimes easy to forget that where you are on your journey, that you may have crossed the chasm. There are still thousands of organisations that are still, you know, early on their journey. And one of the things I really noticed at the Agile conference in Dallas this year was that the amount of organisations that are still very early on, the amount of Agile coaches that are still, you know, in demand in different areas of the world because organisations need that help. So if you've been in an organisation, or you are an organisation that is matured in its rollout, then absolutely the role of an Agile coach should become less, because like the Scrum Master, your idea is almost to put yourself out of the job.
Essentially, that's what our mantra should always be, is that we're coaching ourselves out. Hopefully not tomorrow, but that's what we should be doing.
Great.
So I read this article almost, and maybe it's just the way I was reading it, having no idea, but I was reading it almost as like, what do you do once your coaching gig is coming to an end? In other words, if you want to stay with an organisation, where do you go in an organisation if the role of a...
Don't you go back to doing what you did before, agile coaching?
Well, potentially. It depends, I guess, on what capacity. If you're already in the organisation and maybe you're already cutting code or testing or being a business analyst or a project manager or whatever what you're doing, sure. And organisations we've worked at, that's the kind of role that the coaches are doing now. They do that more... hands-on role. I think what Phil's saying is he's saying some of that, but he's also saying there's also some alternatives. But yeah, I think what he's saying is you go back to being a subject matter expert, but kind of with agile expertise.
What about finding trends in the organisation? Systemic issues rather than just working with teams.
I think there's a real avenue for that. One of the things I read through in the article that I did pick up on that I quite like is about perhaps there's a role there to then start to build capacity. Right? And I must admit I do like that thought of building capacity within the organisation of agile. And you and I had a conversation about that where you've done that previously, right?
You mean capability?
Well, capability and capacity, right? I guess they go hand in hand. Of the organisation to self-sustain. Yeah, so it's that.
So I don't believe an agile coach's role should ever be to go in and be permanently there. They need to enable the team to grow their own capability so that they can depart.
But if you use the analogy that Phil has in this article where he talks about sports coaches, because you can use the same type of idea, right? If a team, let's just say the New Zealand All Blacks, hello to my friends in New Zealand, are being completely successful,
Uncle Pete,
right? Then they still need a coach.
Because this is what I disagree with. I don't think anyone in a sports model has actually tried a different approach. I think they've always just done it the way they've done it. There are other alternatives out there. Why not grow the strength in the players themselves to be able to self-assess, self-analyse, critique each other, have a safe environment where they're able to talk about it?
My problem with that is that you're not looking at the 60,000 foot view. If you're a member of the team, you're always inside the team. So whilst I think, and I agree with you, that the sporting culture could do more of that, I mean, particularly if you look at, say, captains on teams, like captains of cricket teams or football teams, where they are making decisions on the ground, and quite often you see those people go on and be successful coaches after the end of their life. But when you're in the game, you are focused on the end game, not always focused about standing out and saying, what can I do as a bigger picture? And I think that's why a sporting coach is always necessary for a sporting team, because they're the ones looking at all the other teams around them. The same as in agile, we're looking at all the other things happening in the community. It's why people listen to this podcast, because they're obviously got nothing better to do, but they're also looking for better ideas, and we do the same by scouring them. So I think that's what coach does, because not everybody does that. As much as we'd like it, no one is, not your entire team is never going to be, sitting on InfoQ reading this Phil Evan at the article. It's only going to be the select few. It's going to be the scrum masters, the coaches, and the few that probably have a destiny to be there. So whatever the expertise is, I think what's more pertinent to the point is I think we get obsessed with the agile coaching role that agile is the end game, which it's not. It's always about whatever it is you're delivering.
Yeah.
Right,
That's where I think I agree is that once your agile rollout is maturing, it becomes less about agile and more about delivery and more about getting better. So part of the premise of this article is he talks about essentially leaders being teachers, and that's what you end up becoming, is you're more of a leader in delivery as opposed to a leader in agile.
Because there's that tension point, there's a real fine line of walking the line of being so embedded that you become a practitioner and you lose your objectivity. And even at the coaching level, and you can draw that sporting analogy, regular sporting teams, even long-term coaches eventually lose their objectivity of the team and they move on.
Yeah.
Right? Because they've been there so long that they lose that objectivity.
As team players, I mean, that's just human nature.
That's right.
When your challenge is no longer there.
The point of, say, a retrospective is to take that that breath to have that step back to have that objectivity.
Yeah, but sometimes you're still only looking at the sports analogy again, as you're saying. They haven't looked outside their field because they are, you're still looking within inside your team. You're going, I make widgets, how can I make a better widget?
Yeah.
Maybe not asking the question, should I be making widgets at all? And that's actually very hard to step back from. And I think some people have that capability to do that.
Yeah.
I would hope if you've got a good leader, they're on top of that. But, you know, we've talked time and time again on this podcast how notoriously bad middle management is. So, because they're just focused on widgets as well. They're just trying to report to the guy up there. So it's that third party, and that's always what an agile coach was someone who came in external to the team and said, I'm going to help you be better.
Yeah.
Right? If your welcome mat runs out of that, you've got two choices. You either go back and be an agile coach somewhere else, or you reinvent yourself and say, what's the next thing I need to get on this?
I agree. That's that leaders as teachers principle.
And I think, right? And I think the big problem with lots of so-called agile coaches that I see running around, because everybody wants to call themselves that now, is when you have to decide whether you're an agile expert or whether you're a coach. And I think both of those things to be an agile coach are important. I see way too many people have done a few agile projects and they call themselves a coach without actually understanding what coaching is. And if you can coach, you can go and pick up the next thing, which is things like leadership or those type of things moving forward. Because the art of coaching is actually the key there. And that's a lot of what people like Lisa Atkins and Michael Spade talk about, is that whole professional coaching model.
That's right.
It just so happens our expertise is in our case, software delivery or in project delivery. We wouldn't go and coach the local hockey team.
That's right. I might.
I had about three lines there, Tony, and I'm not going with any of them.
All to do with pucks.
So I'm not really against the whole leaders as teachers concept. I think it's, as an idea, is really good, but practicality-wise, is it something that is actually achievable? What is stopping that from happening these days in most commercial organisations?
Well, I think, I wonder whether, as agiles become more prevalent, this whole idea of I need an agile coach is just almost like it's just a thing to do. We're going to do agile, let's go hire an agile coach, without actually thinking what a coach actually brings to your organisation. So when they don't do what you thought they were going to do, or when the time comes to the end, you kind of go, well, what now? Whereas if you actually bring somebody in with some very clear objectives about what you're trying to do in your organisation, then you can measure against those.
Okay, so you're saying that the mindset that we need an agile coach is disabling the leaders and the teachers in this field?
Well, I think that's part of your part of your role. I mean, part of it is educating people as to why this thing is important. I mean, remember that lots of organisations that are starting on their journey are doing it purely because either company B, their competitor, is doing it, or they've read it in an airline magazine.
Okay. So how do we make leaders as teachers in an agile environment?
We teach them. Not always the easiest thing in the world.
I think the thing in Phil's article, and this is where I actually got a lot more value out of it, is the comments, right? And lots of people are questioning the experience that someone like Phil has, actually saying, what you're saying is actually an organisation that wasn't really agile. Because when you start talking about agile practicing managers, I think it's what they call APMs or whatever.
The fact that you've got project managers, program managers, scrum masters, agile coaches, without any form of accountability or ability to change.
Yeah. So your first reaction as an agile coach is what? Simplify, right? And that's what a good agile coach will decipher. So I think lots of organisations fall into that kind of scrum button, as it's known, kind of thing, where we pick and choose the things that we want. And
we want to be agile, but we don't want to change anyone's roles.
We don't upset anybody. We still need a PMO. We still need all those type of things without actually getting to the heart of what it is that we're actually trying to do. And I think that's really prevalent now, that so many people are now talking about incremental funding. In the last 12 months, as much as beyond budgeting has been around for a lot of years and was really even not explicitly mentioned, but certainly part of the original scrum, I think it was certainly alluded to that you had to do things differently. Now it's just been the last 12 months where finally people got to the end and went, you know what? Doing big projects doesn't make sense anymore. Maybe we should knock them down to smaller iterations and kind of... Because at the moment, all people have been doing is large projects, with milestones. was essentially just, you know, little diamonds on a Gantt chart, right?
Yeah.
Oh, don't talk to me. Gantt charts. An agile fairy dies every time you make one, right? Yeah, I think the other thing that I liked in there, there was a couple of comments around the coaching, right? It's so easy to say you're a coach, but how many people are really coaches that they have that actual coaching experience?
Yeah, so one of the comments I really liked was Jason Little, who is well known in the agile community. Had said a comment going that I'd suggest based on your references to skin in the game and coaches cannot be great if they are indifferent to the product. So there's a lack of understanding about coaching in general. A good coach knows you cannot force change into any system, and the minute you have product expertise and have skin in the game, you've robbed your client of learning and have created a dependency on their coach. And that to me kind of sums it up, right? Is that and that's where I say it's the difference between agile and coaching, is that as a coach you should be able to go into any particular system. Yeah, it helps to have some expertise to know how software development is done, to be able to coach the team in testing or project management, one of those kind of things. But at the end of the day, you're really that impartial advisor. And as soon as you actually start doing a job like project management or scrum mastering, and I certainly know in places where I've worked previously, I've really resisted getting my hands too dirty, because then you just become dependent. Then you might as well just be a scrum master or a project manager who has agile skills.
So does that not lead to the risk that no one's actually seeing the value that you're providing?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the entendre of the thing that we do.
So your value is really unknown. Cannot be measured.
I find that a hard one. I really do. And I think the only way that you can really measure the value is how the team is delivering.
Okay. You can't measure something with and without.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, and this is where one of the other comments alludes to, is quite often agile coaches see themselves purely as trainers, and again, that's part of your role, but is not the full part of it. And I think there's this misunderstanding that the coach is just going to come in and tell us all we need to know, and everybody will be upskilled and away we go.
But there are some organisations out there that provide some really big organisations. That's the way they do agile.
Exactly.
From a consulting model perspective.
And that's just going to get worse as it becomes
more popular.
It's more popular and more people figure out they can make a buck out of it, right?
Yeah. So I have a quote. Though this is an interesting one. So I want to see, A, first, whether you know what the quote's talking about, so what it's referring to. B, if you know who it's from. And thirdly, C, when it was done. Okay? So
a lot of things to remember, Tony. You with us?
I'm good. Yes.
All right. True leadership is leading without selfish attachments.
Okay.
Okay. So, what's it talking about?
Blank look from Tony. All right.
I'm thinking through that.
Yeah, they can't see you thinking, Tony.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, I can hear the cogs whirring in your head.
Well, you
next
can't ask me a question like that.
True leadership is leading without selfish attachments.
So in other words, you actually have to put the greater good of the team above.
Yeah,
and the organisation as well above what you want.
I look at it more as a lot of leaders have an agenda. They come in because they get bonuses, or they come in because they get some sort of remuneration, or they get some sort of end of year type of perk.
So very closely aligned to the whole servant leadership sort of model.
But you know that if that's the kind of way that someone's leading, you want to follow someone that actually has a vision and actually really believes in what they're doing, not just trying to get the next BMW, right?
Yep.
So that's what I see about that one, is that someone who actually believes in the cause, well, then everybody follow them will believe in the cause. And I've seen leaders that do that, and I would follow them to the end of the earth, and there's some leaders that I'd happily push off the edge of a cliff.
So any guesses about who made the quote or when?
No. Dan Look?
Renee about...
Yeah, Renee?
Oh, no. Okay, so this comes from an actual text for the Bhagavad Gita. Sorry, guys, if I pronounced it wrong.
We look forward to your letters.
Yeah, it is from 3000 BC.
Wow, there you go.
There you go.
Servant leadership back 3000 BC. Oh my god, we still haven't come as far as we should have.
Can I ask why you were thumbing through a book from 3000 BC?
Yeah, I don't know if I should ask that question.
I just love the fact that one of the oldest known texts in the world has a reference to servant leadership.
Fair enough. All right.
I just want to grab. The reason I was fumbling around here is because to go with that, the Twitter that I selected today actually clicks into that really. So you can't expect employees to exceed customer expectation if you don't exceed employees' expectations of management. Funny. 3,000
I actually can't remember, actually. This is one that I picked up from Yao. Jason Yip retweeted it. I can't remember who said it, whether it was actually Dan North or someone else, but it's not to deliver so fast that marketing doesn't have a chance to change their mind, but deliver so fast that they don't have to.
Yes. It's good. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, So
that came, was a quote from someone at Yao?
It was a quote from someone at Yao, and I'm just struggling in all the mess that was Yao exactly who said that. But it was one that I kind of picked up and retweeted because I went, that's very profound.
So while we're talking about Yao, we haven't really done a wrap-up podcast for Yao Day 2, but I'm sure there's still more podcasts coming out. I'm not quite sure where this podcast is going to be in secrets amongst the dozens of other podcasts we've still got coming, but rest assured, over the Christmas break there'll be plenty of podcasts coming out for your entertainment whilst you're on holidays.
Yeah, we still got stuff banked up from Dallas.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to talk about was just in the last week, Agile Australia 2013.
Yeah, so a couple things happening in the community. Yeah, Agile Australia 2013 is open for speakers.
Submissions?
Yep, so if you're interested in coming down under to meet Renee and I and Tony, or you live in Australia and you just want to talk at that conference,
yep,
then sign up for that. You've got a bit of a role this year, Renee?
Yeah, I've got more of a role this year, so I'm chair of the Approaches and Practices stream, which is really looking at some of the standard Agile practices that we're doing, but I'm really keen to have speakers. We're doing a lot more of that edgy Agile stuff, so I really want to see in Agile Australia this year speakers talking about lean startups, going into a lot more details about lean, about Kanban, you know, even personal Kanban, things like right shifting, double loop learning, Kanban and so forth. So, you know, if we've been doing some of the work in this edgy Agile area, please have a think about submitting and joining us in June this year, or next year.
In Sydney.
Yep.
In Sydney, Australia. I think the thing about the Agile Australia conference that, I'll preface that I'm one of the advisors on the conference, but really opened it up to the community this year. I mean, every year progressively they've been doing more of that, so now the conference program is in the hands of an even wider variety of community members who will be choosing the program. And one of the all conferences I've been to, people kind of come out and they say, you guys should have spoken about this, you guys should have spoken about that. But having been behind a bunch of conferences now, it's up to you guys, right?
Yeah.
Speaker submissions are there. You've got to think about, what do you want to see? A few people sent me emails in the last sort of week about, I want to talk about this. And I just sort of went, is that a talk you would really want to go and see? I mean, no one cares about the little project that you're doing. Right? What was cool about the project you're doing? What things can people learn, and what things screwed up that people can learn from as well?
What's the bit that's going to change the world? What's the piece that's going to allow people to walk away from that conference and go, yeah, I can take that, it's going to motivate me.
Go with this, Renee,
we've experienced that screw up too, and how can we fix it?
For each stream they've got two chairs. I'm lucky enough to be co-chairing with someone
it's just like musical chairs where they take one away
with someone that I do love and really respect, which is Kim Ballastrin from Telstra, who also runs the Melbourne Kanevan meetup group. But also we've got 5 reviewers for each stream as well, and those reviewers are also from the community.
And if you're a little further afield, the speaker submissions for Agile 2013, which will be in Nashville.
Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville in August next year.
Isn't that Countryland?
It is. Yeehaw, right?
Yeah. It's like LA with a hat.
Something. Can't they go to New York? Can't they go to New York?
Well, they were, the history was they were actually supposed to have the conference in Nashville back in 2010, and there was some pretty severe flooding that went through Nashville, and they had to move it to Orlando last minute. Ooh. So, yeah, they've gone back. They've gone back to the hotel they're supposed to have it in, and so those submissions have just opened as well. They're also looking for reviewers, I believe, as well at the moment. So that might be something that's of interest to you as well if you're further afield.
Awesome. What else have we got, gentlemen and ladies?
I think that's about a wrap, isn't it?
Well,
I guess maybe the last question I'd just like to ask you guys is, as we head out of the year, what's probably been in the community, you know, the big thing that you've seen, you know, this year? What's a standout?
2012 retroflective.
Yeah, retroflective, I like that.
The big thing that I've seen, you know, I've seen a huge growth in the cannabis space. I hear about it a lot now. I think that's probably the
Dave Stone's become a bit of a poster child, hasn't he?
Yep.
I suspect many in the community probably didn't know who he was 12 months ago.
Yep.
And I think even a lot of people actually think, oh wow, he's an agile guy, but no, he's actually a...
Yeah, I think both Kinevin and Lean Startup is the big thing, and I think Lean Startup would grow even more in 2013.
Yeah. I think for me it's the coming together of the next generation of techniques, so Kanban, Lean Startup, those things starting to really find their own legs.
Edgy Agile stuff.
Edgy Agile, yeah. I hate the Agile 2.0, 3.0. Please, people, we're not even doing Agile 1.0 properly in a lot of places yet, so let's just knock that off. Throw my little pulpit thing. Let's just stick with it, yeah, or call it Raku. But it's just the emergence, I guess, that's what it is. The emergence, really, of those in their own right and understanding where they can be used.
And for me, and this real over the year I've seen this, is people now taking our techniques outside of software. Take your point that a lot of software houses haven't got it right yet, but for those that have, taking it not only just to the business of organisations that are doing it, but when you look at, when you talk to people like, as I did to Joe Justice, looking at him doing Agile Cars, when you look at Luke Holman and his Agile Governments, And the other thing that I really experienced, you know, as I've been going around the community this year, is the acceptance now. And you mentioned, Kinevin, but other things like, you know, double loop learning, and you know, even more people talking about the Lean Start. People talking about Dan Pink.
Real options.
Yeah, real options. There's all these other things on the outside beyond budgeting, which was, you know, never really part of Agile. Agile marketing has now got a life. So this whole kind of, you know, external, where people are kind of going, you know what, individuals and interactions over processes and tools is actually a pretty good idea, and people trying to follow it. I don't exactly know where it'll go and where the label that we have will.
It might be a revolution.
Might well be.
Might be an Agile revolution. Oh, very nice.
And on that note...
whilst Renee hackles herself in the corner.
Yeah. So any last messages for 2012 and 2013, Renee?
Have a safe holiday.
Yeah, have a very safe and happy holiday. Don't do anything silly. We want to see you back and listening in the new year.
I want to say, follow your Agile process. Do a bit of a retrospective. Look back and say, you know, what was good, and celebrate it. And think about what can you do to be even more awesome in 2013. And have a safe one.
And we promise we'll be back in the new year. We'll bring Craig's pants back for sure.
Yep, and Tony will actually wear a shirt.
I wore a shirt.
But I'll wear a bra.
And that's just something that we really didn't want.
And on that note, we will sign out and say,
Viva the Revolution!
Merry Christmas! Happy Hanukkah! Happy Festivus!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way!